Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church, and we're so glad that you've joined us in this study of the book of Joshua. Our prayer is that this study equips you to live the victorious life that is offered in Christ. God bless.
This is Day 1 of Joshua, Volume 2, Living the Victorious Life. Today's title is An Intense Attack. Duncan Campbell said, "To me, it has been a source of great comfort and strength in the day of battle just to remember that the secret of steadfastness and indeed of victory is the recognition that the Lord is at hand." Our text today is Joshua 10, 1 through 5. As soon as Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing it to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent Tehoam, king of Hebron, and Piram, king of Jarmuth, and Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. Colin Peckham gave this description on today's text. Finding that Gibeon had made terms with Israel, Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, summoned the king of Hebron and neighboring kings to go up with him against Gibeon. He was unwilling to attempt to make peace with Israel, and he was determined that none of his near neighbors would do so either. In his persuasion of them to follow his policy, we see how a strong character can lead others to do evil. Notice that they were all neighbors of Gibeon, fellow Canaanites. Opposition sometimes comes from those who are close to you. At this point, these coalition forces were out of their walled cities, which would have taken so long to subdue by siege. Now, they were out in the open and on the battlefield, making it possible for Joshua to engage in battle with them. The defection of the Gibeonites aroused the fiercest animosity among its neighboring cities. Gibeon was a formidable frontier city, so this alarmed Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, who was only a few kilometers away. He had lost what he had counted on as being a powerful ally. Other cities might follow suit, and they might all be conquered like Jericho and Ai. He feared for his life. By overwhelming and occupying Gibeon, they might be able to hinder the onward march of the conquering Israelites. Suddenly, the men of Gibeon found themselves confronted by hordes of infuriated warriors who were eager to wreak vengeance on those who dared make a league with Israel. Adonizedek sought to crush the Gibeonites while Joshua and his men were away at Gilgal, and wanted to make an object lesson of Gibeon in case others were tempted to follow their example. The Gibeonites were in big trouble. They had secured peace with Israel because they feared for their lives. However, in doing so, they had betrayed their fellow Canaanites who lived in the same region. Now, their near neighbors were plotting against them. It probably seemed like their destruction was inevitable. If Israel had been a nation like any other, this might have been the end of the Gibeonites. But the Gibeonites had made peace with God's people, even working as woodcutters and water carriers for the altar of the Lord. As soon as we take a step closer to God in our spiritual journey, the devil attacks us with full force. The moment we seek to make peace with God, Satan makes war on our souls. The devil will pull every trick at his disposal to keep one person from defecting from his side and finding God. But as the Gibeonites will soon discover, God's side is always the right side to be on. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. The Lord is our strength and shield. The coalition of Canaanite forces will soon discover that no multitude is a match for Jehovah God. They have come against their old ally, but they have no idea how quickly God will come to rescue those who have made peace with his people. Consider these questions. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. How could staying alert for the enemy's attacks help you as you take steps closer to God? Read the following comments from John Butler on the meaning of Adonai Zedek. Then answer this question. Are you living up to your name as a Christian? Adonai Zedek means Lord of Righteousness. Adonai Zedek had a great name, but he certainly did not live up to his name, for the Lord of Righteousness was fighting against the God of Righteousness. Glover, writing in the Pulpit Commentary, says that in Adonai Zedek, we have a great title borne by one of a poor nature. Name and nature do not always correspond. The grandeur of a title is not always matched by the greatness in him who bears it. God gives us names which it is our duty to illustrate and justify. Children of light, sons of God, heirs of God, chosen generation, royal priesthood. Is there never any discrepancy between the titles we bear and the lives we lead? We cannot help having these great names applied to us. They belong to all who have been born again by the birth which is from above. Let us try and live up to our name. Pray with me. Lord, thank you that you do protect us as we come closer to you and are vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. We pray that we would live into the new names that you give us fully today. In your name we pray. Amen.